Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. This is a great series that goes out every other week, and we are excited. Of course, today I have my partner in life and health and family, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Mary, welcome.
Hi.
And we have a very special guest from north of the border, at least north of the border, depending where you're at, north of our border in Canada, north of the U.S. border. We have Dr. Jamie Richards coming at us from southwestern, is it, or southeastern Ontario?
Southwestern Ontario, right actually across from Cleveland. So if you're in Cleveland looking across, you'll see my house.
Well, I remember the days when Lake Erie, you might not have been born, but Lake Erie was on fire, if you know that.
I did not know that.
So polluted, man. It was just a mess to light it up just like that, right? And now Cleveland is now the big plum. But let me tell you about Dr. Jamie. And Jamie's done some really remarkable stuff. He's a 2002 graduate from CMCC, and he understands the principle and just truly just takes in chiropractic, you know, on a very philosophical, deep level. He practices, as he said, you know, in Southwest Ontario, and was doing all kinds of seminars. I'm gonna tell a quick story, Jamie, on this because, I'll tell that in a second, but he started a company called Life by Design. And Life by Design, he'll share it with us. It's really cool. It's just really about how do you get your life designed, right? How do you want to design your life, right? And in his practice or in his office, Life by Design office, he's got a few different businesses. We're going to get into the entrepreneurial spirit of what Jamie's all about. But he is just really, really extraordinary. And I will tell the story. He ended up marrying an American. He married into a chiropractic family, right?
I did.
Yep. There you go. Dana Cerrone. She's from New Jersey, and the Cerrone family. And they met in California, and after three dates, proposed, and boom, two kids later, and 10 years or whatever it is.
Yep, 10 years.
Just incredible. So, Jamie, listen, welcome. I know that you're a very busy guy. You get up at 4:30 every morning, and you know you're the kind of person who can get stuff done. Hopefully, we'll get into that today. But I want you to share with our audience, you know, just you know, I think today the conversation we can frame around entrepreneurship, we can frame around, you know, values, and we can frame around, you know, like we just talked about, things that, you know, because how do busy people get stuff done, right? But yeah, if we have time, we'll get to that. But share about your entrepreneurial spirit, like, you know, where it came from and a little bit about what you've designed there.
Sure. Right? Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show and the podcast and the video cast and all the different ways you can access this. So it's you know, fantastic to be here, an opportunity. I said in the pre-show, you know, I'd seen Ron speak, Ron 20 some years ago now. You might have had hair back then, I'm not sure.
It's much smaller.
Right. So, but it did stick with me because I remember that, you know, speaking about it, and I was like, Ron Oberstein. Oh my gosh, I remember listening to Ron. So, you know, I had a CMCC education. Take it for what it is, but I had been exposed to lots of great speakers when I was there. Yourself and Arnold Bernier and Reggie Gold, and you know, really got exposed to, you know, third paradigm chiropractic, as Reggie would call it. You're just better off not subluxated. And that, more than anything with chiropractic, resonated with me. The chiropractic as a treatment for A, B, and C just didn't make much sense to me. But this idea that, you know, you're better off without stress on the nervous system, that was logical. And I'm just a logical kind of guy. And so, you know, fast forward, and here we are, you know, CalJam 2012, I guess it was. 2012, and I met my wife outside of the party. So I always thank Billy D for giving me, you know, the chance to meet my wife, and married into a chiropractic family, the Cerrones, and you know, so exposed deeply into chiropractic on a day in and day out basis. And here we are in Canada. So we've created this Life by Design Center, which was really the vision, you know. If actually I take a step back, I was in Australia at DG, is where it all happened, actually. And we had started Life by Design in our practice as something that we wanted to create to be able to communicate with patients. I remember sitting around having a conversation with a colleague, part of my Life by Design team, Kreisho Jug, and I said, we've got to figure out a way to communicate chiropractic. And I almost felt bad about it, but without the word chiropractic on it, right? So people could hear the principle and get it and go, oh, by the way, that's chiropractic. Like, really? That's chiropractic? And so we came up with this idea of Life by Design, you know, the idea that a flower, if it has soil, sunlight, carbon dioxide, and you don't step on it, it's going to grow. Well, if you have food, movement, sleep, and you don't put pressure on the stem, which is the nervous system, obviously, then the body should just innately be healthy. And it all just came together. And anyway, it took me to DG. I got to go speak at NZCC. And while there, I thought, you know, the only way we're going to be able to help more docs is if we create a vision for what it could be for them. And whether they did it or didn't, that wasn't important. What mattered is I could create a vision of it in my mind, and then I would see it through. And that's where the entrepreneurial part came in. Part of probably necessity, you know, I had this big vision. I took out a huge loan, got a 10,000 square foot space. And then you're kind of like, okay, how do I figure this out? So, you know, we can get into that. But yeah, I mean, part of it is having the vision, taking the action and just saying, well, I'm going to do it, calculated risk. And then jump in full, you know, 2 feet leap, and then kind of reverse engineer it from there.
Absolutely. Mary, we've never done that, have we?
Never.
We did it with kids, didn't we?
Oh my gosh.
We just reverse engineered once we figured it out, right?
Yeah. So I want to hear more about that. I want to hear about, like, so you had the big vision, you took the leap, then you said, okay.
Well, yeah, it was kind of crazy because I came back from Australia and I said to my brother, who was in practice with at the time, I said, do you want to buy a practice? And he's, what do you mean? I said, well, I've got this idea and this vision, and I wanted to open up in my hometown. So where I live now is where we were born and raised. It's a small community, 5,000 people, pulls from about 100,000. And he said, sure, I'll buy your practice. So he bought my practice. And 3 months later-ish, I was out of practice. We had just built a house here, which we're now selling. And we just had our first baby all at the same time. So similar to you guys in that sense. And, you know, we did it. I brought in an associate from the States, actually. We started growing. We opened the gym. We opened the cafe restaurant last 2 years ago. And, you know, I mean, there's a million things we can kind of break down out of that. But right. At some point, you just look back and think, wow, like even talking about it, it's kind of shocking even to me to think like, wow, this has actually happened.
Yeah. So just for our viewers that, you know, to have an understanding, here you are in this 5,000, you know, population town, right? And, you know, in this 10,000 square foot building, you have a gym where people can go and work out from the public, right?
Yeah.
And then you also have a restaurant where people can come and get healthy food, I would take it, right?
100%. Yep.
Yep. And then you also have your chiropractic center where people can have their nervous systems cleared and
exactly
to the best of their ability, right?
All in one center.
Yeah. So I guess my question is this, did you really build it for them or did you build it for you? Because I would
have been, yeah. You know, oh, Ron, 100%. Yeah. You're on to me. I often do say, you know, this was a scratch your own itch project, right? I love great coffee. I love strength training. My personal background in athletics, I played college football. So, I mean, like it was just, I wanted all this stuff. And so I get checked, I get coffee, I get my protein shakes, I get my meals, like legitimately get my meals here. I shower here, the gym's here. And then, hey, if other people want to come in and pay us to do the same thing, why not?
That's exactly it. So, and then my question will lead to this because, you know, obviously you've built this life by design, right? This
100%
intentional life by
100%.
Design. And when you see that, I mean, how many people are coming into the restaurant or coming into the gym or the workout area and then end up coming into chiropractic?
A lot.
Now how many go into chiropractic and then you can funnel them? So, you know, it's not chiropractic. We know that, you know, everyone eats.
Right.
Right. And people should be getting movement and exercise. Right. But you can compartmentalize them, but you've made it so convenient.
Yeah. It was really built off this idea. So the original concept of the life by design, the flower example I gave you is this idea that we call requirements and strategies. The body has requirements, right? Food, movement, nervous system. And the strategies are chiropractic care, fuel, training. The cool part is, and this is actually kind of a neat thought, is all the requirements, the strategies, there's many. So if you talk about a movement requirement, there's a lot of ways you can exercise and meet that requirement. But when you think about the nervous system requirement, we are literally the only game in town. Like, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, you're the only game in town. You can go to 5 gyms, you can eat different types of diets, and all of them may help meet that need to some degree, but there is only one professional that analyzes, assesses, corrects, detects, monitors, and cares for the spine and nervous system, and that's us, which is crazy when you think about it. And so to do that all in one, yes, I would say we probably have about 1,000 members in the facility, and 70% of them, 60% of them are chiropractic patients as well as gym patients that kind of mix the two together. And yes, no matter how they get in, and this was part of the business side of it. So when somebody comes in, let's say in the Fit Club, and they go through an assessment, part of the assessment is preliminary structural testing. So we get those pictures, the doctor gets them, they analyze them, and they contact the gym member. And a lot of those then go, oh, I need to come in and get an assessment. They do that. The same thing in the corrective office is people go through, we do a movement assessment. We say, look, you know, you've got these movement deficiencies. Would you be opposed to meeting with a coach? No, I wouldn't. And then they go down and they meet with a coach. And so our goal is to get everybody doing everything, basically, and doing it all here.
Wow.
It's crazy. I love it. I love it.
It's awesome.
Is the restaurant like open to the public? Is it like?
Yeah. We say it's probably the best coffee in Canada, and it legitimately is. I'm a coffee fanatic. And so, you know, I've got probably too many cups of coffee actually sitting right here beside that you don't see on the screen. And it was actually named after my grandfather. Go ahead.
We can't tell. We can't tell there's coffee in your system at all.
No, not at all.
No, wait. So finish that. It was named after your grandfather.
Yeah. So my grandfather, Charlie, we named it after him. He was big on, he had a huge garden and used to sit out there. He was a war hero, actually, a veteran. And he would tell stories. And that was kind of my idea of the cafe. It was a place where people came, they sat. So it's really designed that way. And all of this too, I mean, a whole other side. I'm a huge fanatic on design. I think I probably would be an architect in my next life. And we designed the center. I've designed my house. And so it's all meant to be different and separate in businesses. And they are separate corporations, actually, under one main holding company. And then the brand is unified across them. And so even though every team member and employee, we have 17 employees, those employees all work together as a team, even though they're working for different corporations. And it's just a neat culture from a community and a almost an employment perspective. It's a really cool culture to work under as well.
Wow. So with all, I want to go up there and see it all.
Oh, if you can get into the country, you're welcome.
That's right.
Good luck.
Exactly.
So,
good luck.
So Jamie, for the people that are listening, this is what I hear a lot, that, you know, people will watch these and we bring in successful people and they go, well, that's all great. I want you to get real and tell us, like, what were the challenges and the struggles, right? Like, so that people can really relate to you of like, they don't have to have your brain.
Sure.
Like, what were some of the struggles in juggling
all this? It's hard. I don't know where. I remember listening to a speaker say, oh, being a chiropractor is easy. And I heard them say that, and I was a student, so I thought, okay. And you know, I was a year in, 2 years, 3 years in, and the first thing I thought to myself was, "This, what a liar this person was. This is not easy." I mean, I hate to make it cliche, but I struggled. I opened my practice in my town where my brother is now. It's a larger city, 500,000. Took out too much of a loan. Took out too much of a space. Didn't have staff, didn't have coaching, didn't know what I was doing. I was passionate, I could communicate, but I had no idea how to run the business. And so, you know, student loans, I mean, I hit a point where I think I was about 400,000 in debt. But the one thing I will say is I never compromised. I never said, oh, I'm going to fix your knee. And not that that's bad, but I never said, I'm going to fix your lower back. I never advertised that way. I stuck to the principle, even though it totally bankrupted me. And maybe there was a better way to go about it, like getting help, but that's a whole other side of the story. But I learned how to do things eventually. But it probably took me the first 10 years of my business and practice until I actually was out of debt. And I mean, honestly, it's almost embarrassing. There was a time where I was collecting probably like $11 to $12 a visit. I was in that box on the wall, Reggie Gold mentality. I was seeing like 250 visits a week, making 10 grand, right? Like, I think of it now, it's just like shocking to me. So I did a lot of things wrong. But what I did learn, this is what I learned out of it. I learned how to communicate very well because my meals depended on it, essentially. My life depended on it. And I learned how to be passionate and care about people. I figured out the business part later, and then everything just synergized together and it was just amplified, and it's all fantastic now. But there was a lot of dark times. I had to take out a lot of loans. I had to ask my parents for money and then pay them back. And you know, we come from a middle class family, and they were more than happy to do it. But I knew, looking back, what a struggle that probably was for them. So, you know, it kind of makes me a little bit emotional in that sense. There was a lot of people supporting me, but it was hard. It was, I mean, I have no easy way to tell new docs. It is a lot of work. Yeah. And even to the point, maybe people don't want to hear this, but it's kind of like patients. Not everybody's meant to be a patient in my practice. Chiropractic is for everybody, but I'm not everybody's chiropractor. Chiropractic may not be the profession for everybody, right? You got to be cut out for this stuff. And if you are, awesome. It's an amazing profession. If you're not, you know, you might want to find something that's a better fit for you.
But isn't that in everything in life?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
You know, there's people who take different routes to get to where they have to go to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the journey that we go on individually, right? So it's not that chiropractic is hard, or it's not that being an accountant is hard. It's more about my journey took me on this path that I chose to go on. I own it. Took me on this path, and I guarantee you'll tell me right now, and I think I know the answer. Would you change any of it?
No, I know. Again, you just don't know where it's going to go, even if you did change it. And it's interesting you said that, Ron, though, because I mean, you think you actually really clarified that. You're right. It's chiropractic. You know, we'd make it more complicated than it is. Chiropractic is not hard. And you're right. And maybe that's what the speaker was saying. Hey, thanks for helping me out there. Now, I don't feel as bad about what she said. I didn't realize that it was all me, right? Maybe it's just me. And so... This is actually like a pivotal moment. This is good. Chiropractic, you're right, is not.
I'm going to bill you. What's the
Life 45 Talbot, yeah. You know, a lot of therapy to get through that. You could have saved me a lot of work.
Get it, boom, just like that.
I know, but you are right. The chiropractic part's easy and it's simple. And I think the bigger issue is we complicate that part, and we probably project our own challenges and our own shortcomings, and that ends up mixing up and getting in the way of chiropractic. And I
don't even know about getting in the way. I mean, Mary, this morning, you probably heard it, because when I came in the bed this morning, I was listening to a video, right? And it was Elon Musk's first wife, I believe his first wife. Yeah. I listened to a TED talk that she gave. And, you know, here's this guy, Elon, the way his brain works, he needed to go through all these failures and go through all this stuff, you know? And it's not that, I don't want to say he needed to, that was the path he took. But that's how his brain worked. And I'm just listening to you, Jamie, and your brain is like phenomenal. I mean, look what you're doing right now. You're juggling all these different balls. It would make sense to me that if I was to say something, you know, look at a crowd and just hear their story in a minute, then I would be able to say, yeah, boy, you could have easily have gone down a longer road, because your mind is built in a way that you're going to like explore every nook and cranny, and you're going to figure this out and be able to do all this stuff, you know, and that's the beauty of it, man. It's like you get to paint that canvas, and you got a freaking Picasso, and, you know, people like say, go to the Sistine Chapel, and the guy was, you know, Michelangelo was on his back doing this for, you know, 4 years, and then you got this other guy, Pollock, who just throws paint against And they're both worth $1 billion.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's interesting you say that. You know, I have an associate doctor, fantastic doctor, has now become a business partner and bought into our practice. He's kind of my succession plan. And, you know, he's doing a great job. But that's one of the challenges with newer doctors and newer in life in general, is looking ahead, seeing somebody's success and thinking, wow, like I should be there already. And I remember watching people up on stage just thinking, wow, I could never do that, or I'm not good enough. I go back to my own practice and I mean, why am I not good enough? I feel like I should be, but it's not that. It's that there's a line between point A and point B, and in that line is time. Yeah. And there's really no, on one hand, there's no way to accelerate it per se, but then on the other hand, you probably shouldn't accelerate it anyway, as you're saying, right? There's so much in there. Why get through it so quick? You miss all the parts you need.
Okay, there's a natural progression. Where do you turn? Like, I don't know if you know that expression, in a bottle of tequila, you know, the last one.
Okay.
But, you know, something, you said something shifted, right? Like, where did it shift?
One of the really interesting
inflection point.
Well, there was a few, but one of the big ones was, and I'm not suggesting people do say group reports versus one-on-one things like that, but I remember thinking to myself, you know, why are people not, it's not that they weren't understanding what I was saying. It's just, they're not committing, right? They're not saying, yeah, like let's do this. And so I went and interviewed a bunch of people I knew who were doing group reports. And this was just at the time, 2012, you know, 2015, wherever it was. And did my first group report. And then I went in the room and I literally was 3 minutes, just asked them four questions, bang, bang, bang. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. And I remember walking out at the end of the night and my brother and I did the group report together and everybody left. We had maybe 8 new patients, 4 each. All 4 of them we accepted into care. Everybody's really pumped. Everybody paid and prepaid. And I thought to myself, we looked at each other right in that moment. And you're like, dude, what the F have we been doing? Right? It was just like, what have we been doing for so long?
I got to hit the button, man. I got to hit the button. Wait a second.
That was easy.
So beautiful.
And that was it. That was a big turning point for us because all of a sudden our practice just went from like, you know, bang to double and we were actually charging what we should be charging and, you know, other problems come later. But that was a big, big pivotal turning point.
I love it. And when you say group report, let's clarify because people call things different, right? You know, it could be a health talk and then they come in and then you ask the questions. It could be you showing x-rays to everybody and then you show them their x-rays. So just in 30 seconds, explain what the group report was.
Yeah, it was kind of like the old doctor's report. Mine was very vitalistic in that sense, maybe 20 minutes explaining the basics of the body heals itself and some of those principles, the nervous system, and then showing them what test results could look like. And then we break off into rooms. I'd show them their test results. And I was asking them 3 questions. You know, do you see the same problem I see? Is this going to get better, worse, or stay the same? And is this important enough to you to spend the next 16 weeks to start to correct this problem? Yeah, you're sure? Yeah, okay. And that was it. And I was like, what the? I'm still even saying it. It's almost shocking to think to myself, that's all I said to them. And that they were so excited and ready to go.
I had a similar experience when I was an associate. I was using the script and kept going over what I was taught. My stats were terrible. And I just one day just walked in and I just like threw everything away. Right. And I just started telling people what I wanted to do.
Right.
And these were screenings, people coming in where I had to like convince to take x-rays. And I just started walking in saying, I'd like to take x-rays on you today. And everyone went, okay.
Right. Okay.
And then it was like, I'd like for you to take care. I was like, I'd like to adjust you today. They're like, okay. And then Ron, do you remember that? Like you and Gary said to me one day, like what happened? Your stats went from like 20% to 100%. I said, I threw the script away and I just became Mary.
Right.
And I just used I statements. Here's what I want to do. And I used that for 33 years of practice.
Wow.
Even if it's somebody who was like, I don't believe in chiropractors. I think you just are all in it for the money. Really negative. Mm-hmm. I'd say, well, here's what I'd like to do today.
Well, you know, Mary, it's, again, funny you say that. I think that there's just power behind authenticity. And I said this to my associate or my partner yesterday. I said, look, you know, you can have this combination of confidence and certainty, authenticity, and reality, meaning it's nice when you can actually know your stuff and you can tell them the reality of the case, you know, be honest. It's nice when you're just authentic and true to who you are. And it's nice when you're confident. And you can put those 3 things together, confidence, authenticity, and reality. It's like magic.
Yeah.
And I know that because you also have cases where people are authentic and confident, but the reality is so like out in left field. I mean, they're saying the craziest stuff and people still say, wow, this is amazing. So, you know, yes, I still think all of them need to be together, but the power of confidence and authenticity is undervalued and underestimated in communication and in any business.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is just talked about communication. Mm-hmm. It's how we communicate. Some people don't communicate really well one-on-one. I'm not talking about the doctors. I'm talking about, you know, the prospective patient, right?
Yes.
And so you might be talking, how many times the 3 of us have talked to a patient and they're doing this, but in the inside, they're going like,
right,
talking about, you know, whereas when you got them in a group and you're explaining things and the energy is there where other people are getting it and then you take them.
Yeah. And it was just
the question Socratically, like,
that's
you,
right.
I mean, right. You know, you ask them, good. What do you think? You know, will this get corrected if you don't do anything about it? You know, what
that's
do you
right.
think? You know, it's just great.
Well, when I used to do group reports, I don't do them anymore. And it's just pros and cons of both, but I used to do the group reports. In the group report at the end, I would actually say, okay, guys, we're going to break off into rooms, go over your test results. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. So I'm going to go over them now so you get the test right. And I would do them in the group. and everybody would chuckle and laugh. And then I go in the room and I don't think they'd expect it. And I'd sit them down and say, okay, great, Mary. So when you look at your test, do you see this? And they're like, oh, you are actually asking me the same questions. I'm like, yeah, I already gave you the questions. Yeah. And, you know, we have a good chuckle and they're like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. And then away you go. So, I mean, I think communication, as a little side tangent here, is obviously it's a central factor. It's a requirement to successful businesses and chiropractic practices. It can also be a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of freedom in being yourself and not worrying about what other people are going to think. And that's when I think practice really expands and unfolds, when you just are like telling people the way it is with no concern about whether they're going to agree with you, say yes or no.
That's it. You know, yeah. Mary, when you talk about it, because what I saw in you when you switched it, your stats just blew up. There's that maturation process, and it's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, someone, it could be 3 years, someone, it could be, you know, Mary, you were about probably about 4 months or something like that. It just, where you all of a sudden just get to that place within yourself that say, this is how I'm going to communicate. And, but like you said, Jamie, authentically, yeah. Right. Yeah. Passionately, telling the truth, you know, all that stuff, and boom. And then next thing you know, people are hearing you. They're hearing you. Yeah. They're hearing the words now, right? But they're also seeing the person, right? And that's where it shifts. And it's like, you know, how many times I told this to somebody recently and it was crazy. Like your first year in practice, all the crazy stuff that walks in and the things that happen. My first 2 months in practice, I had a guy walk in, put his x-rays up on the view box. There were plain films back then. Put them in the view box. And his name was David Dickelman. Never forget that. I can't even remember my daughter's boyfriend's name, let alone, you know, David Dickelman. And David looked at his x-rays and he looks at me, he looks at his x-rays and they were messed up, looks at me and he goes, how do I know that's me? And I was like, one half, are you calling me a liar? I mean,
right.
Or maybe I show that to every single person, right?
Right.
So you know, and I looked at him, the only thing I said to him was, how do you know it isn't? And he went, good point. And then I go,
that's great.
Should we proceed? And he goes, yeah. And whilst I'm showing him, at one point I said, dude, it is you. And I wouldn't want to admit that if I was you. So it's just interesting. I mean, let me ask you a question, because, you know, we're talking about really great stuff, authenticity. We're talking about, you know, changing paradigms and how we move and what were the inflection points and stuff like that. But I think value has to be thrown in here.
Sure.
You know, anyone who's moving, anyone who's growing, anyone who's building, there's got to be values that they build around, right?
Yeah.
And I know we can go through a million values, but what's one of your highest values that you hold?
Well, I think that I love the value conversation. It's core to Life by Design, everything we talk about. We teach a program inside of our practice called Think by Design. We should teach Think by Design, Move by Design, Eat by Design, and Power by Design is what we call the chiropractic part. And so the idea, our definition of a value is something that you want to gain or keep. So health could be a value, financial freedom could be a value, freedom is a value. And one of the best ways to know that you're pursuing your values is that you're happy. And so we use the definition that happiness, because a lot of people think like, I need to be happy, and they're trying to manipulate their way into being happy. Whereas happiness in our world is the emotional reward for pursuing your values. Yeah. So if you're happy, there's a good chance you're pursuing your values, even if you don't know what they are. Because sometimes people are so happy, they couldn't even name their values. And the flip is true too. So let's say you're really unhappy, you're probably not pursuing one or more values in your life. And I use that as a guidepost for me to know, you know, I'm happy or I'm not happy. There's a value problem. So in my practice, as an example, I left practice about, I guess, in December. Without getting too deep into interesting stuff for the interesting stuff that's going on in the world, I think I was affected by some of the medical procedures that were happening around me. And so I started having all kinds of heart palpitations and heart problems. And I mean, I'm a healthy 46-year-old, almost 47. It was just shocking. Now I work a lot. I think exhaustion was a part, but there was this other factor. So anyway, I ended up leaving practice. And I left practice because I felt myself not being happy. And I had a succession plan in place and I did the groundwork to get there. So I wasn't just forced to be there. But, you know, here we are selling our house. Here we are doing these things that, if I could share anything about values, is knowing my values has profoundly changed the direction of my life in ways that are almost shocking to most people. And I'm not saying everybody does this, but, you know, to sell our beautiful home, to move to Florida, to give up practice, to sell part of my practice, just that I'm going to work from three different locations, right? Like, it's crazy on one hand, but on the other hand, I'm happier than I've ever been. So clearly there's a value in there for me that is being met that wasn't being met 12 months ago. So, I mean, I think whatever your values are, you should know them.
What, give me the one word on that value.
My top value is freedom.
Absolutely. That's what it sounds
so, like. So yeah, like once I realized that and I felt like in practice I was tied down, right? I mean, getting up in the morning wasn't an issue. And I was excited to wake up. So my alarm goes off at 4:10. You know, I leave the house at 4:45. I like to be in the gym at 5. This, you know, I have a plan. It was the fact that I had to be here for every patient, you know, every day. I started to not enjoy that. And I started then thinking, okay, can I reverse engineer a different plan, a different way to do this? And I did. And it took me a couple of years, but we got there. And if a doc or a student is going to do anything, it's start with your values. Because if your life doesn't follow or at least directly be in pursuit of your values, you will not be happy no matter what you do.
Jamie, Mary, you tell me if this is true or not, but I feel if we would have known you 20 years ago, exactly what you just said right now is the same as that path you took 20 years ago, right? Mm. It's like you, and this is what's so cool, you know, and I really mean this wholeheartedly. It's like some people just like to just kick back and go, I got it, man. It's like, you know, I'm right. Seeing this, I got it. I got a beautiful home. I'm loving it. My kids are great, yada, yada, yada. I go to the same restaurant every Sunday, play cards with my buddies. And
right.
I love that, man. That's unbelievable. You got a life like that? Your values are right there. Jamie, what I'm hearing, and once again, I'm not charging you for this. You don't need a pillow.
Okay.
On the couch.
But hit me with it.
What I'm hearing, it's the same thing. I mean, it's like you don't have to do things. And this is the lesson for me is that, you know, things don't have to always be easy. You know, just do it, right? Because sometimes totally. It's harder to step out and freaking jump off the high board and then jump off the cliff and roll down the mountain and do that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the end, you get your values.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And I, even the thought, you know, you saying the words and me listening to that life is, you know, just gives me the willies, you know, I'm like, oh, and for somebody who has that as their values, like that was my dad's values. I mean, my dad passed away 3 years ago. And I mean, I always say like, it's unfortunate, obviously, that he passed away, but at the same time, he was the most content person that I'd ever met. He didn't have a bank card. He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't really travel. He was literally the mayor of this little small town. He'd come up to the coffee shop every day. He was so proud of me and my brother and of his grandkids, and everybody loved him. But he had no desire to do anything even remotely close to what I was doing. I would not be happy in his life, and he would not be happy in mine. But I learned that from him, you can be content as long as you are pursuing your personal values.
That's right. That's right. And I guarantee it that your parents would say, Mary, if Jamie was our son, we'd be like, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Or, what's he up to now? Right. Kind of
thing. Exactly. Cool, exactly.
And because that's what I read. That was this morning on that video, Mary.
Right.
You know, with Elon Musk's ex, you know, first wife. Right. It was like he just would just do all these different things. And it's in one thing to another thing. And that's how he's wired. And
that's right.
And we all chase our success, our happiness. Yeah. Our values in different ways. I love it.
Well, my wife, Dana, she would always say, you know, I'd say, okay, this is the last project, right? This is the last one we're going to do. And so every time a new one comes up, she says, this is the last project, right? I'm like, I think we've reached the point where we both realize it's not the last project. So we're all good that there's going to be more projects. But yeah, I wasn't convinced that, you know, I had to get okay with the fact that I'll probably just have projects for the rest of my life. And that's okay.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's beautiful.
Well, and it reminds me of parenting too. It's like the easy part of parenting for us was watching our kids and witnessing them and saying, okay, like there are some boundaries that we need to stay here, but watching our kids and kind of like if you were our son, it was like, let's just watch them go.
Yeah.
Like we didn't try to change their brains. We were like, well, this kid is like this and this one's like that.
Right.
Let's just watch what they do. And it was like, if you were a son, it'd be fun to just watch you, like watch
your brain. You guys, you know, you guys can probably attest having grown up children and more than we've had in terms of the timeline, but I'm already seeing in mine, they're just so different. And to get them to conform, to be the same, I mean, when you try and get one to be more like the other, just, you know, out of instinct, you're like, oh, stop doing that. It's just, it's a terrible experience for everybody. And when you just let them kind of do their thing with those boundaries and the safe, you know, bumper rails, it's amazing how much easier it actually is.
The greatest attestation, I think, is to be able to say that I was able to be a spectator mm-hmm. in my children's life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you take out the bumper rails. Sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, because I guarantee you, when you grew up, you didn't have bumper rails, you know, and it's like, it's almost like we try to protect them on that level yeah. instead of saying, you know, we got to trust that innately they know mm-hmm. what we're doing. And as they get older, Mary and I used to always say, we raise them that they can make their own decisions and they will make the right decisions that are theirs, you know, and all that stuff. But it's beautiful, man. We just did a full circle. I mean, we just went to our kids, you know, and but hey, listen, we're kind of hitting the witching hour of our time with you. We always end these Life by Life West with two questions. So we're going to ask you these two questions, 30 second or less answers, whatever innately hits you. Mary, you want to do one or two?
I'll do one.
Okay.
Okay. First question. If you could go back and talk to Jamie, the chiropractic student, what advice would you give him?
I even though you told me the question before, I try not to think about it, and it's still, it's such a big question. You're kind of going back and thinking to myself. I think probably the thing I would say is dream much bigger than you think you are capable of achieving, for sure. You know, and I felt like I dreamed big, but now looking back, I accomplished most of those things in the first 10 years. So as hard as that is, dream as big as you possibly can. It sounds cliche, but probably because it's true. Dream as big as you possibly can and start there. Don't worry about how you're going to do it. Just set a post as far out as you can set it and then reverse engineer the plan as you go.
I love it. That's great. Great. Question number two, same question, man. You know, but now you're speaking from your experience. Now you're speaking to Dr. Jamie, who just graduated, not just started school, but just graduated. 30 seconds or less, what advice would you give them?
We didn't touch on it a lot, so I'll say it, and that's GSD, right? Get shit done. You know, not just anything. Figure out your highest priority things. There's a lot of great resources and books. You know, what's the one thing you can do today that's going to move you forward in 12 months? That's a great question. There's a lot of good ones. But having a productivity system in place that allows you to tackle your highest priority tasks. And I'll ask it this way. If you could make a list right now of the top 12 major projects that you'd like to complete in your life, and then fast forward to 12 months and all 12 were done, think about what your life would be like if the 12 biggest things on your to-do list were finished. Yeah. Then just go back and do one each month, and then you've got it done.
Yeah. I think what would happen most of our lives, there'd be another 12 that pop up.
That'd be another 12. Or more.
Exactly. That's great advice. Exactly. I like that.
It was beautiful. Thank you, my man. Thank you, Jamie, for being with us. You are truly, you know, living the life by design. You've designed your life, right? And it's just so beautiful. So it's so appropriate. So thank you for being with us today.
Great. Well, I'm grateful for being here and with you guys. And thank you so much. And for all you guys do as well. It's just nice to be a part of this community and being welcomed into it. I feel very grateful for that.
Yeah, we're the same as with us. And Mary, thank you again. It's a pleasure to see you. And even though we were just together about 3 hours ago. and to our audience, I want to thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for continually, you know, just coming, jumping on. You know, like I said earlier, we drop these Life by Life Watts every other week. The opposite weeks is the Life West Leadership Line. Keep sharing these, spreading these, send them around to your friends. I guarantee you there's somebody, chiropractor or not, there's somebody who needs to hear what Jamie talked about today, literally, that will just not, and you know, just whether it's one thing or the whole thing, right? That will just literally change their lives, because these inflection points that happen to us happen everywhere when we least expect it. But we love and appreciate you. And we're so thrilled that you keep sharing this. And until we meet again, we'll come back at you with another Life by Life West, and just keep loving those people with you, hugging those people with you, and sharing the gift of life and health, and letting people know that they are much, much more powerful than they were ever led to believe. So until we come again, Mary, great to see you. Jamie, thank you again.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.